World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Morning, everyone. A little bit of technical difficulty. I had everything ready, getting videos set up, and just lost internet. And nowhere in my house would my phone connect to CoachDaveLive.com. So Spencer is able to get me on the line. Praise God. How's everyone today? Hopefully ready for another day in the battle on this this Friday. So Spencer, I can't see the screen, so I'm leaning on you. If you go through that, I started off with, I'd like to start with where we were in at the huddle down at Clay's. I talked about Colossians 1, 13 through 17. So Joe Silverone, could you read that and get us kicked off? Actually, you know what? Before we do that, let's talk about the schedule. So Spencer, pull up the schedule, and I guess we got the event coming this coming week, 7th, 8th, and 9th at Coach Dave's Sky High. So if everyone could get there, that'd be awesome to see everyone. We got lots of things going on as education and preparation in these times. And then we have a bunch more going on. If Chad wants to go over some of the other huddles and activities, that'd be great. Chad, you on? Okay, so refer to the event page there and make yourself available at one of those. Coach is headed to a ChristianRevolution.net huddle, I believe, in Boise. So, Spencer, if you go to ChristianRevolution.net and check out the events while he's doing that, I'm going to go over any activities with Christian Revolution that we should know about for the weekend. Ohio Brett, is he on? Well, very
he's
good. All right, so gotcha. ChristianRevolution.net and CoachDaveLive.com. Find your events in your area and go check them out. Any other pressing activities going on? Any other huddle activity not listed in our events y'all would like to speak? Yep.
Yeah, Mark, I'll jump in here.
Good, Bobby.
Weekend, October. A lot going on that weekend. First of all, we're meeting down at Gettysburg at on that Friday morning, the 29th. We're going to experience that. People have been asking me about that. So here's your chance. Don't miss this one. If you're not going to make this one, there might not be another one. So we're going to huddle up Gettysburg Friday, late Friday afternoon. We're going to go back north and set up for the rest of the huddle weekend. We're going to bust Hell's Weekend open. We got Russ Dizdar coming out on Saturday to speak, talking about satanic ritual abuse. Tom Dunn, satanic ritual abuse. We got Reggie coming out to speak about child and human trafficking. There's some other speakers there. It's going to be an all-day thing. We want to pack the house. We're contacting churches. We're getting the word out. I made up a flyer. It should be hopefully posted today. So this is the weekend to bust open Hell's Satanic Hell's Weekend. Got to let them know.
Amen. Thanks, Bobby. And I know other folks have things going. Just be encouraged by one another. Encourage one another. Support one another in these times. So really, this message that I prepared today is continuing wellness. It's continuing how we shore up our immunity system and maybe learn a little bit about what's going on. So whenever I was at Clay's Huddle, I did a lesson on wellness related to our body frequency. And the verses that I referred to are 1 Colossians verses 13 on. So I can't read that. Do I got a volunteer that can read that for me this morning?
I can read.
Joe Silver. Perfect, Joe. Have at it. And let's go slow. There's an area here, a couple areas I want to point out. So go ahead, Joe.
All right. Where do you want to start?
13. Colossians 1:13. Yep.
All right. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son?
Okay, hold on. Just real quick. He said, who hath delivered us? In the beginning verses, it's talking about Jesus Christ. Who hath delivered us? So it's referring to Jesus. Continue on.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him.
Who created the principalities and powers? We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spirits in high places. Who created them?
God.
Jesus. Why did he create them? For his purpose. And he keeps them going. He keeps them together. So he's got a purpose. He's got a desire for these spirits and dominions and things of the earth and in heaven. All right, we're a part of that. Paul was a part of that. Paul had iniquities. He had infirmities, and he lived on with those. And that's us in our time right now. Continue on, Joe.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father.
All things consist because of him. And I interpret that it was created by him, for him, but then they consist still because of him. And that's what holds us together. And that's kind of where I'm headed. And I'm headed to where, you know, God knew us. He created us. And we need to relish in the fact that a creation is something special. Jerry is up there creating a generator. We have people which are creating things in these end times to survive. And when you're done creating, you have a feeling of joy. Whenever God created, he had a feeling of joy, and he said it was good. So even God, when he created, you know, he said it was good. Creation is an amazing thing, and the devil can't create. He can just reassemble. But this next verse, if you read Psalms 39, if we go to that one, Spencer, and let Joe read this one. This talks more about our creation and our creator. So when that's up, you can go ahead and read it.
It's up.
Okay.
I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me.
Yeah, hold on. Spencer, what verses did I have listed there for Psalms 39? Have him start there. Yep.
We got King James up.
I apologize, I'm not online, guys. So, 139, and then the verses.
Another animal.
Yeah.
For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest places of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious.
Okay. What we have here is Jesus, and there's several other verses of God knowing us before creation. If only in his mind we were known by God Almighty. For his purpose, we were then created by Jesus. We're in the book. All right. That's the same book that he fashioned before the foundations of the earth and so forth. But the people in that book, there's going to be some people blotted out when Jesus opens that book in the end. So creation occurs for this group of people, actually all people, for Jesus. Now, where I'm headed now is that moment of creation. What is a zygote? What are we before we're flesh and bone? Well, you're semen. And I wanted to talk about this because of the wellness properties of conception. Okay? So if you go to the next link, I can't read it out loud and all this. I can't even see it. But what these links are saying, if you read a little bit about, you can just scroll by it, what a zygote is. All right, there's a video there in the second link that we can watch. But what's going on here is you have a single cell in the mother, and the semen comes. And if that semen is chosen, if it has the right chromosomal properties, the egg changes. There's a chemical reaction that causes the egg to allow that through. And then the egg changes again, being activated. Now, when that happens, no more semen can get in because of the chromosomal count. Now, this is important because when the egg is let in, the egg is changed. Okay, it forms a calcium reaction, and then zinc occurs on the surface area of the egg, zinc. And this is one of the big secrets and mysteries of life. But when that happens, an electrical charge happens, and y'all have heard of the spark of life. Okay, so all of that is based on wellness. The wellness of the mother, the wellness of the father, the viability of the semen, the viability of the egg. Now, how can we keep God's creation right then, the fleshly part of it, whole? This is where wellness really, really matters. And if you think about the process I just went through with the vaccination, and you think about the metals, and you think about the electrical properties of what's going on during the time that the zygote is created, okay, what's a zygote? Well, whenever the semen enters the egg, there's a period, and that period enables the new DNA to be formed, and that zygote is the initial new DNA of a person. Its conception at its most basic initial form, even before the egg splits and starts creating that person, a zygote is formed with the DNA instructions. Now, this is crucially important. Whenever the DNA is created at that moment, there's a cellular polarity and there's a cellular amplitude. Your egg is viable by its strength, its health, its polarity. It's an electrical thing. Okay, so it's very important that we keep our electrical properties up, especially if you're having babies, because if it's not, the baby's not going to be viable, because when the zygote is formed, the DNA isn't viable, and the baby's autistic, or the baby's this, or the baby's that. At that moment, the flesh determines it, and then you got the will of God in there making a special purpose for a person. And it's all right there. Okay? So you got, all right, any comments on that? Do y'all have any hands up, Spencer? We'll take a little pause. Joseph?
Morning, everybody. I just want to do a thanks for and a prayer for my family today. I got my middle son, Joshua. and Courtney and being married. And another positive for our Salt Life ministry. And Carol and I wish for your prayers and have a good week. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. Anyone want to say a prayer for Joe and family? Sam, you want to?
Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I do lift up Joseph Allen and his wife and, Father, their entire family. And, Lord, I just pray your blessings, your anointing, and, Father God, your comfort to them. And, Lord, what a blessing they are to this body. And, God, Lord, just let thy kingdom come and your will be done in them and not only in them, but, Lord, continuing through them in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. And I just, I'm so thankful for this family. I don't thank y'all enough for everything you're doing. And I know we're all busy, but look after one another. I care a lot for Joe, and I need to be in touch with him more, honestly. But thanks, Joe. Anyone else? All right. So you got the formation of the egg, and
hey,
you got
hey,
God intervening. Yes,
Mark,
sir.
I got something. I have just one question. I want to make sure I understood what you're saying. So when the cell, you say, is formed, it's encapsulated by zinc, Z-I-N-C?
Yes, zinc is in the egg whenever it's formed. And then it comes to the surface and creates an electrical, it's actually creating like a little battery. You know, you have a difference in potential between the inside of the egg and the zinc that forms, and it doesn't form until it's activated. That's right.
Okay, so here's my question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
when you look at the four pillars of what we're supposed to take against the COVID,
mm-hmm.
it's vitamin mm-hmm. D, vitamin C, zinc, you know,
zinc.
And, you know, it's either the quercetin. It's either, you know, because the zinc, according to Dr. Zelenko, where he was saying, he says that's the thing that stops the replication of the virus in the cells. He says that he said the hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are the means to get it into the cell. He said, but it's really the zinc that's the mm-hmm. that's the importance of it. And that's what in his video he had posted on Coach Dave is he says when Cuomo, right, he took those two avenues of medication, which were prescriptions mm-hmm. away from him, he had to go to the NIH website, and he found out that quercetin did the same thing. So according to his verbiage, he said hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are 50 caliber bullets, but he said quercetin is a 20 caliber bullet. And he said you don't go to war with the army you wish you had, you go to the war with the army that you do have. So he switched his protocol to using quercetin as the means to inject the zinc to the cells to keep the replication. So I just find this fascinating that at the first part of conception, the zinc has
zinc.
A major role. And I think there's a connection there.
There absolutely is, because the population is about making, and think about it, if they don't kill the baby at the egg state, they get to take care of it. Pharmaceuticals. So now you got hospitals taking care of all these autistic and inviable eggs. So it's another form of depopulation, but it's also an opportunity for another whole healthcare crisis. See, they know what's going to happen to this generation of babies. They know. They've done it with mice and animals. They know. So they know the treatment that they get to sell to the babies that aren't born yet. They know. All of this stuff's playing. And I'm going to go on a little side trip here about cancer. Okay? Cancer is a parasite. Cancer can be killed with a warmer like ivermectin. It's proven. Now, you got to have other things, but in general, cancer is a parasite. A parasite that, when does cancer happen? Well, I just went through the description of the semen and the egg. The zygote gets created at that moment. That's when cancer is transferred from the two parents to the child. Everyone's got it. Everyone's got cancer. And my lesson at Clay's was, if you're 62 megahertz or above, cancer can't grow. It actually shrinks. So if you're maintain your body frequency or you maintain your wellness, then cancer can't grow. Grow, that means it's already there. So the whole idea here is to shrink these conditions and not fall subject to the pharmaceutical methods and chemotherapies, which are killing all your cells. But cancer itself is also an institution. It's an industry. Cancer, you know, has how many billions and trillions of dollars behind it? And we all have it. It's a matter of dietary wellness. It's a matter of, like Bobby Lee said, stretching, releasing those negative enzymes and negative ions through exercise, earthing. All these things, Jesus went to the wilderness and he sustained himself. That's what I'm trying to get to, is we have the ability to sustain ourselves through God's creation. Cancer is just like COVID. Okay, COVID, a two-year-old disease, they've continued to use the marketing label COVID. COVID is now an industry. COVID is now a complete new thing that's going to be on all of our health records, just like cancer. Did your parents have cancer? Did your grandparents have cancer? Did your parents have COVID? That's because of all of the genetic related things to the vaccination and what's coming. So I believe that COVID was created by the kings of the earth to box us in and to take our money at a time when the economy is getting ready to collapse. We're spending all of our money on healthcare. I guess we weren't spending it fast enough on cancer. So if you look at COVID, it's a total permanent. You don't see it ever going away now that it's here. So it's a cancer. And I look at it that way because they're both parasites. COVID can be killed with a dewormer, so can cancer. So we have the medications out there to do the job. We got the knowledge. And, you know, now it's all about depopulation. And I'm going all the way to the Spark of Life. Spencer, there should be a link there that has the Spark of Life, the second zygote link. And it's got a video at the bottom of the page.
Hey, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, can I make a comment?
Please do.
This is excellent. Hey, guess what cancer cells breathe? They breathe carbon dioxide. Guess what the Hegelian dialectic is pushing on us through the mask? It's creating the sickness, creating the diseases. It's pushing cancer. You're right on the money, brother.
Amen. And I got more on the subject.
We need oxygen. Our cells need oxygen, and that deprives oxygen. It makes you breathe more carbon dioxide. So what are you feeding? You're feeding the cancer. You're feeding the sickness. And that's right. They have this agenda. It's clear.
Amen, Randy. Amen
to both of you. Amen to both of you.
Yeah. So, Spencer, you see that video at the bottom?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I still can't see that.
I've got it.
All right. Go ahead and play that. Now, this is interesting. It's just a couple minutes. It's narrated with text, so you can just watch it. I don't know if anyone's ever seen the Spark of Life, okay? But they're going to go through a few scenes, and you can actually see it. It's about 3 minutes or so. Go ahead.
The first visible sign that an egg is fertilized is the newly discovered human zinc spark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting any audio from this video.
No, you're not going to. It's like a lab video. You're watching under a microscope. You're looking at eggs.
Harnessing differences in the amount of zinc released at the time of fertilization could lead to better outcomes in in vitro fertilization. Only mature human eggs release zinc at the time of activation. In this video, the right two eggs are mature and the far left egg is not.
Okay, you'll see the little white sparks.
And we are
so here we are. Yep. Is that the end of it?
In this final video, the zinc spark is imaged at the precise times of fertilization in mouse eggs. I'm narrating for all our audio listeners.
Apologies that you can't see the video to all the audio folks. Links will be available. You see the little bright sparks? Now, That's creation. That's natural creation, you know, in a lab, but that's what the eggs are supposed to do. So at that moment, it's like a lightning bolt or a static discharge. Okay. The more you scrub your feet, the more voltage and potential. That's called cellular amplitude. And then that both the semen and the egg have that. And then they come together to make a spark. And that's how well the DNA is created for the offspring, the zygote. You kind of get it? You see what I'm saying? So we are electrical beings. We were formed electrically. God knew us. He wanted us to be exactly the way we were made and deal with what we were dealing with at that moment that your spark happened. And now you get to live knowing this. Now, how are they preventing this spark from happening? So I got a little section. What's the next section in my notes, Spencer? I'm sorry.
Book from it's the Oxford University.
Okay. You got reference information. If you click on this book link, it's a bunch of information about the formation of a zygote, the spark of life, and you're getting down to how they can depopulate us before we even are viable. Okay, so I think this is a major tactic related to microwave energy. When you immerse your body in your eggs and your semen and radiation, it's changing your cellular voltages. So then you add graphene to it, which is the next section maybe.
Got it.
You're going to be adding conductive properties. Now, graphene, the reason I stuck this in there is I talked about this before. Graphene are these little hexagonal shaped molecules, graphene oxide. So if you click on that, you can see the formation of them. They're like little antennas. So our satellite arrays in space and the antennas on the front of our aircraft are all shaped like graphene atoms. Okay, they're shaped like this because they collect energy. And graphene changes your body's conductivity to ensure that things happen and don't happen, just like aluminum in Alzheimer's. So think about the cells that need, every cell is like that egg. Every cell needs transfer of electricity. Every cell, your blood cells, your white blood cells, when they go and attack an illness, it all works through electrical signals. But where do the instructions come from? It comes from the DNA. So where did the DNA come from? It was written at the time that you were born, the conceived at egg moment, that zygote. So your DNA starts off as a zygote, but then what happens to it, right? What happens to it after that? So now you're living. Does your DNA change? Okay. I'm just opening up the notes here so I can catch up. But does your DNA change through your life? Okay. So as you live, is your DNA being unwritten? Is it being written? Okay, so if we look at this, graphene enables your body to accept signals around you. It allows you to become more of a receptor. We have electrical conditions which enable the creation of our DNA. And then we have healing. Well, what is healing? What is healing? If you're healed, your DNA, was it correct to begin with if it didn't have the instructions? And then your body heals and repairs itself. So some of that's DNA healing. Some of that is just your musculature and some of your body parts healing up. But they need instructions to do that. So where I'm going is when people touched Jesus and when he touched them, they were healed. Lepers regain their ability to function without leprosy. Time after time, people's been changed. Within our own queue, David Arthur was changed. Okay? He was healed. He was no longer the same person. He was no longer the same flesh. Did his DNA change? So the question I'm asking here is, does salvation change your DNA? Okay? It renews your mind. You become a new being. You know, all these things are indicating, but it doesn't say DNA in the Bible. But we know that our DNA contains our genetic history for illness, for characteristics like I'm a carpenter and my granddad was a carpenter. My dad was a carpenter, so I'm a carpenter. Maybe that's not in my DNA. Maybe I'm just a good carpenter, or maybe it is in my DNA. But what if I'm a drunk? My dad's a drunk. My granddad's a drunk. Is it in my DNA or is it not in my DNA? So what's written? Whenever you have sexual intercourse with another person, their DNA is transferred to you. It's stored in your brain forever. Okay? You become a part of that person forever. That person changes you forever. Okay? So that's in, where else is it written? Okay? So I believe in my own way that the DNA in our blood and in our hair follicles is part of the books. Now, hair follicle don't keep changing. It's where it was. But your blood cells, when they get produced, they have your current DNA status. Okay? So does salvation change your DNA? These are things to think about. Because as we talk about wellness, and we have the ability for salvation to rewrite us and make us a new person, leaving our flesh on the cross, we have spiritual DNA at that point we're supposed to move forward with, right? And then does sin change your DNA? Do we continue to unwrite the perfection of God that he created in us through sin? You know, I don't know how DNA's changed. There's lots of theories. You got mRNA, you put that in there and it updates your DNA. It fills in the gap. You know, and you're talking about energy, and you're talking about the possibility of remote controlling signals that could update your DNA or change your wellness or update your cardiac conditions or whatever condition you have there. What if you're equipped with graphene and can receive a signal to be well? Well, how's that impacting your egg? How's that impacting the other functions of the temple of God in, you know, your body? So these are things I've been exploring, folks. I'm going to take another little break. We got any hands up?
Not currently.
Okay. Look, do a Google search on DNA healing. Just do that search. And I want y'all to see all of these hits. Y'all can do your own research. So when the Google is scrolling by there, there's one labeled extracellular DNA traps inflammation, injury, and healing. You see that one?
I'm not seeing it currently.
All right, it's the next link in my notes. So if you bust that one open, it's just a characteristic of what our DNA can do. All right, there's other information about our DNA that's not public, that it revolves around a third strand, okay? Three strands of DNA instead of two, a triple helix instead of two. Only 3% is known about the function of our DNA, which means they've only uncovered out of everything they know, 3% of all of the lattice work and all of the properties of our DNA, okay? So I think this is important for us to know. So this one is about how our DNA traps inflammation, injury, and healing. So if you look at this, it's got, I don't have internet to go there for some reason, but if you read through this, DNA can be used to encapsulate illness and then get rid of that illness. These are things that we were programmed with, so to speak, when we were created. This is our natural immune system. Our DNA has the ability to do far more than maybe pharmaceuticals allow it to. If you give yourself a medication before your immune system operates, it's not going to operate properly. It's not going to complete the course of action and change your body to a point where you can withstand that illness next time. I'm getting down to the end of the lesson, but as we think about our Creator and who we are in Him, and so forth, Isaiah summed it up with Isaiah 43, verses 3 through 7. Joe, you want to read those for us? Joe, you won't?
He's away from his desk.
Okay. Anyone else want to read that one? I don't have it pulled up.
I can read it for you, Mark.
Super.
Isaiah 43, 3 through 7. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him.
Amen. Even, read that part again, even as...
Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory.
Amen. Even everyone that is called by my name. So that's beyond the Jews. For the dispensationalists, that's beyond the Jews and the Jews returning. Okay, it's everyone. We were created by him and for him. Guys, this is such a blessing to be able to share some of these things with you. And I'm only a little piece. It's I'm going to need a little help now. It's Friday. So if you guys want to chat it up a bit, it'd be great. I'd like to hear your feedback on this. Any hands up?
I've got Dale and then Reggie.
Hey, Spence, can you put that scripture back up on the screen? There are two key vital things in this thing. Many times we read and read over it. And of course, as Isaiah was speaking, as the Lord prompted him, is that those that were called by his name, those who were his... But he said in this passage of scripture, watch this, folks. Let me tell you how much God loves us, and that God doesn't necessarily love everybody else. He says that I will give other people's lives for yours. Think about that. The Lord himself. I mean, you guys, that's a powerful passage of scripture to know who we are in Christ, that he says, because I love you so much, I will give other men's life in exchange for yours.
Wow. Good point, Dale. Amen.
And Mark, that's because we are his. We have to be his.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes we like being our own person, our own little G God, doing our own thing. And really, we're supposed to leave all that on the cross and follow him. So, I mean, amen, Dale. Thank you.
Hey, Mark, if I can finish with this before Reggie comes in. It goes back to what Coach started the show with, Timothy. Remember, everything followed the first thing. It says this, that men will become, you just said it, little G men, men will become lovers of what? Self.
Themselves, yeah. Amen.
I love that you're talking about this, Mark. I would so encourage everybody out there to not let this like overwhelm your mind, but start to look in it, because Mark's talking on the DNA level. And I always go back to what Lucifer or Satan is, a mocker. He can't create. God created the humans. So in, you know, what Dale said, God is not with all man. And it speaks that in scripture many times. Also, transhumanism has been going on since the Garden of Eden. And Luke reaffirms that it will not end. It will not stop. Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. That doesn't mean just the debauchery that was going on, because they were that now they're gene splicing. They're doing all these, you know, scientific experiments. Before, they were interbreeding and mixing with the fallen. And so I just love this topic, because Christians don't understand this at the level that others do. And I encourage you to understand it. Therefore, you have that knowledge.
Amen. And one of the things that I was called this week, someone called me from the queue and said, Mark, I have a baby that's living in a bad radiation area. How do I build a tent for him? How do I protect him? How do I keep that baby out of radiation? Now, think about that plea. Think about that plea. Don't we all have that plea? Don't we all want to be out of radiation? Here I am. I'm reliant on it in order to connect and share with you guys. But I had to leave my home because I don't have radiation there. I'm sitting in a park 20 minutes from my house so I can talk to y'all. See, we're addicted. We're so immersed in radiation. So I told the person, I could build you a tent for the baby, but is mommy going to turn her phone off? Is daddy going to stop, you know, leaving the Wi-Fi on all night long, radiating the baby through a tent that's only attenuating a little bit of the signal? To do a Faraday cage or an EMP device properly, it has to be across many different ranges and bandwidths. Now, a range is a frequency range, kind of like AM is only some channels. Then you got FM, that's another frequency range. AM and FM are two ranges. You need two radios. So the same way with the filter for RF, you need different filters. Now, if you got a big lead shield, it'll filter everything. But you're going to put a big lead shield in your home? You know, so there's these things that people don't understand about radiation and attenuation and antenna properties and filtering and all of that stuff that the Prince of the Power of the Air knows. And I happen to have worked in. So there's no easy way to make a Faraday cage. And when you do, you got to test it to prove that it works, because you don't know the frequencies that you're even trying to block unless you test it. So to throw up a cage is to, you know, and that's where all this is going, is I'm showing y'all the electrical properties of a human, even at the time of conception, how important radiation is to damage the fetus, damage the embryo. So if we look at our lives, what can we do to reduce radiation around us? It's almost a helpless situation, but we have to be as resistant as we can. And these are the things that I'm bringing to the surface. I think biblically, it's a big part of Satan's plan. So I do think it's biblical for all those who don't really like frequencies or dealing with them. Well, you're still dealing with them, even though you're avoiding them. And I just want you to be aware of what's around you. So if you saw a child eating rat poison, are you going to just pray for him? Are you going to go over and talk to the parents? Are you going to smack it out of his hand? Then he's a strange child. You know, you don't even know the person. So that's what this is. And we're not smacking stuff out of people's hands. We're praying for the people. I pray you don't get the vaccination. You know, I don't know how we could smack it out of their hands, but it's kind of where we are, right, folks?
Hey, Mark, I got other hands. I can follow them for you. I can see them. Rochelle's up next. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Jump in. Thanks, Bill. Rochelle?
Hey, you there? Sorry about that. Yeah, I think, Dale, you had made a comment about when God would... What were you referring to when you said that he would give one life for another or sacrifice some? Where was that?
That's why I asked Spence to put it up. It's in Isaiah that Mark, can you give that scripture reference real quick?
Oh, was it Mark? Okay. It reminded me. I've been reading 2 Ezra's. It's been taken out of our Bible, but it's an amazing book. And one of the things that goes over in there is Ezra's just keeps going back to, but why even make man if there's, you know, his heart is evil and he does these bad things? And, you know, why have you even made man? And the angel shows him all of these different answers. And what it comes down to is like God doesn't worry about the ones that aren't his, like the mass number of people that don't, he's not concerned about them. He's only concerned about the precious stones, as they're called. He's not concerned about the sand and clay. And it's a really, really good book. If you guys can read Second Ezra's on your own, it's online. You can find it online, and it's really good.
Amen. Rochelle, hey, Mark, what was that? I know it was Isaiah. Can you tell us what that, so that Rochelle can read that?
Yeah, 43, Isaiah 43, verse 3-7.
I should have it back on
Thank
screen
you.
Now.
Are you back? Okay, Randy's up.
Mark, I love you. You use science to expose their own hypocrisy.
Amen.
That's what you're really good at, Mark. And you really empower me to do the same by this. This is so. My point is, God wants us to find Him. He wants us to see Him. There's a lot of people that say, "Well, I need science." Okay, here you go. Here you go. There's science right here. Just see, read it. Here's the truth. But I don't need it. I don't need science. I have faith in my heart. I believe Jesus was God. He came to the earth and did everything that the Bible says. So I don't need it. But Mark, a lot of people that really seeking, they really are seeking truth. They're going through the avenue of science. Now we have tools to say, hey, okay, hey, let me show you this is the zygote. Let me just show you creation. And when you put it all together, you can see God through science if you're not willing to just see it. With what, you know, like we do with his word and the spirit. So this is great, man. Appreciate you.
Amen. And you look at that and how could you, God says that through creation, you know, he exists. You don't need to walk with Jesus. Look at that, guys. I mean, look at what happens whenever a new life is formed. And that's accidental. You know, this is such beautiful work. I've been sitting on this spark of life for a long time, and I'm barely touching the surface of it. This is how God creates a new DNA from the very, very beginning of time. This is how it has worked. It's amazing to me. So I think it's all biblical, and I think it glorifies God to understand his creation. Y'all know I love Genesis. Who's up next? Any hands up?
Yeah. I didn't know Spence was going to take that wheel, but I am up next. Mark, a couple points there is absolutely. You want to talk about the marvelousness of God. When you read Psalms 139, even before the spark, he says, before you were knitted in your mother's womb, I knew you and I have laid the footsteps. This is for all of us to think that God doesn't care. He really wasn't there. God was there before you were a thought in your parents' mind, and that his mind towards us was incredible, that he already had footsteps to us to follow in. It's not a predestination. It's a choice. And when you walk in his footsteps, the next thing is, and I don't want to send off a rabbit trail, but in 2012, we kind of talked this after the show when Reggie was talking about transhumanism, the Supreme Court came out with it and they are backtracking, backpedaling. They said those who would receive the mRNA, which had never been done until this COVID vaccine, they said it doesn't create, it doesn't do something to your DNA, it adds something to it. You no longer are a human being, you are a transhuman and properties of those that inject you.
Well, I'd just like to add something if I could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe, Mark, there's two ingredients in your DNA. The one is phosphorus and the other one is sugar. Now, the military people that are in here probably know or have heard of tracer rounds.
Mm-hmm.
It is like when the Lord said, "Ye are the light of the world," he meant it spiritually as a fact and physically as a fact.
Mm.
Phosphorus and sugar.
Amen. That, well, when that spark goes off, that's a photon of gamma radiation. It's actually light, you know. So right. That's what we, yeah.
Right. And then the other one I would say is Isaiah 34:16, I think, too. And it is describing DNA. What is there, four ingredients in your DNA? What is itazine, tritazine? I don't know. What is there's four of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they will only bond with each other. So you seek out the book of the Lord. No one will want its mate. Itazine, tritazine, they will only bond with each other. He was describing DNA. The book is perfect. Amen.
Well, I tell you, there's just so much on this. I just hope this leads you to kind of take a look around and find ways to improve your health through understanding that there's a lot of invisible forces around us. You know, there's that term force again, Dale. But absolutely. Anyone else?
Silver, Craig, and Susan.
Silver.
I was going to say the one of the most amazing scriptures for me concerning this kind of information is Mark 10, 6, 7, and 8, and 9. Mm-hmm. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.
Wow.
The importance of marriage is top to bottom. Parents.
Amen, Silver. Amen.
Children. And our responsibility is to teach our children God's ways.
Yeah. Amen.
So
amen.
Silver. Amen, brother.
Amen.
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 Susan.
One thing that I wanted to point out, Mankind thinks he's so smart, and God is so much bigger. Every time we get a new telescope that can see farther and farther and farther, there's something there. Every time we get a new microscope that can see smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, there's something there. That
Amen.
God's creation is so vast that we'll never be able to comprehend it all. Thank you, Mark, for this. This has been really interesting.
Amen.
Wow. Well, thank you, Susan. That's so true, because I look at subatomic molecules and like an element of hydrogen. You got the proton and the electron. You talked about quarks. The universe is made up of two types of particles. They're made up of fermions and bosons. A quark is a boson. An electron is a fermion. Okay, the difference in bosons and fermions, which are the things that Jesus made to hold everything together, is the rotation of the atoms. One rotates clockwise, one rotates counterclockwise. A boson and a fermion. So a quark rotates one way, an electron rotates another. But this is the interesting part. Whenever a hydrogen atom was formed in the very beginning of creation, I think day one or two is when all the elements basically, or maybe even before that, when the earth was first created. Whenever that happened, the electron stopped at a certain orbital path around the proton of a hydrogen atom. At the same time, so did Earth and the Sun and all the stars that you're talking about. They all just stuck in the firmament right where they're supposed to be on day four. That's the energy we're surrounded by. Amen. Enough electromagnetic energy not only to hold an electron near a proton in a hydrogen atom, but also all the moon, stars, planets, everything. Amen. May I have time for one more?
Myra, come on in since you've not been in yet.
Good morning, Saints. Mark, you have enriched me today with your knowledge, and I appreciate the knowledge from Reggie, from Suzanne, and the participants. God bless you. I love you, my brothers and sisters.
Amen. Thank you, Myra. We love you, too.
And Craig.
Yeah, to dovetail on what Randy's saying, it's always going to be faith. Faith is always going to be the predominance with God, because God will always call you to do something that you can't figure out. But the thing is, for most people, they're going to come to the Lord by either their heart is broken, their lives are broken. But some people, it's their head. They have to figure it out. They say the longest distance sometimes to salvation is the distance between your heart and your head. Amen. The other point to make, Mark, you know, when you get to the sun and you look at what they say the sun's made up 85% of hydrogen. And, of course, we know the sun is a star. So that does tie in with the heavenly host and this electromagnetic realm. The third point, Mark, that I have, and I pose the question, okay, you know, it would be the ideal point is to be out of the radiation zone and around all the devices that we live in. But that for most of us in this queue is probably impractical at this point. My question is, what avenues as we go down can we go to neutralize that? In other words, how do we detoxify it? And this goes back into the grounding. And let's even think about what Jesus did. He washed his disciples' feet, right? So was that really just symbolic of cleaning back then? You know, they didn't really have the shoes. Or was that he equipped them to be able to discharge that evil that they were going to come against into the ground and the earth? And maybe there's something that we can work down to say that these people that are being exposed to all this radiation have a means to be a conduit to bring it back down to the earth.
I totally agree with you. And you know, going back, how do we purify ourselves, right? What do we do against this? Well, the first thing is your mental part. Your spiritual attachment to God will give you a higher radiation resistance. I believe that your will is the strongest immunity you have against anything, including radiation. If you build yourself up mentally, you'll be strong. So I tell you, this has been a great show. I really appreciate y'all's input and help me through it. I apologize for the technical. And just God bless y'all as you go and try to share with someone else. The glory of God. Thank you.
And we are clear.